This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Awesome. You've got a great pastor, isn't that true? He's really awesome. I remember when we came on that mission, Philip, I don't know if you remember, but we decided, we always had a plan, the two of us. So there was only three men on the mission, and we were about eight in the team or ten. And so we decided we're going to buy these big meals because we knew that the girls won't be able to finish them. And then we had like a lot of McDonald's at one evening because all the girls only had like half of their food and we were just munching away. Does he still have plans like that? Yes, he had a lot of plans. Okay, awesome. I just want to maybe show a few photos and then introduce someone to you guys. There's a photo of my family, my wife on her lap, our son Caleb, and our daughter Talita. Caleb is 4 years old and our daughter is 10 months. And we are both almost 50. So then to the next photo, just there's one or two pics from the island. Just as an indication, who watched Survivor? Let me just see, who am I talking with here? Okay, if you did not watch, don't worry. If you did, you'll hear some stories. On that point, I just want to invite my buddy up here. PK, can you quickly join me? Let's give PK a clap. Listen, we didn't plan like this, but I thought he's here, and maybe we can square off once and for all. And then you'll whip my... PK, before I chat along, do you maybe just want to share with them maybe your toughest moment and what you learned out there? And thanks for being here. We had a late lunch with PK and his lovely girlfriend, Anga. And Anga, thanks for joining us. And thanks for visiting us. We didn't plan the speeching, but I thought, hey, he's here. So maybe share a thought or two.
Yeah, we really didn't plan this. Okay, I hate Berna for pulling me up here. But it's such a pleasure being here. Like, I love that he brought me out here. I'm loving the spirit here. Like, I'm loving the spirit here. Just to introduce myself, my name is PK, and I was on Survivor with Berna, and I don't know how he won fan favorites over me. It's completely baffles me. But the one thing that I did pick out from Survivor while being there is that, you know, as human beings, we've been taught that you need to maybe get a meal, you know, before you go to the gym, or some of the students here, as you know, you want to have a snack before you study or write an exam. But the one thing I got from Survivor is that you don't need any kind of sustenance, you know. God has blessed us with so much energy inside of us that there's nothing out there in the world that can give you what God has already given you inside. And yeah, amen. And yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. I don't know what else to say. Like,
maybe a highlight of Survivor.
I think the biggest highlight was you at the auction getting that bowl of rice. But it's such an honor being here today. Like I said, I love the spirit here, and I'll definitely be back. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let's give him a clap. Thanks, PK. Well, before you go, I just want to tell you how we ended up here. So one day, it was during the time we were really playing against one another. And PK, you're actually right. You said, Werner, we don't go for walks on the beach anymore. What's up with that? Because we were starting to, you know, he was migrating in the one alliance, and I was in the other one. And we decided that that shouldn't ruin our friendship. And we sat on the beach one day, and I said, "So let's if we say we're buddies above this game, let's meet up in Pretoria and visit the congregation that I know they show for Pretoria." And he said, "Deal." And here we are. And I just want to honor you. PK is a great guy. Another thing, why did you try and take Katinka away from me?
One thing I learned about females is that they know where the right place to go is. So I'm sorry about that, but...
let's give PK a clap. He's an amazing guy. Thanks, PK. No, PK is really a sincere guy, and just having him here, it's just a privilege. And we're here to talk about Jesus, amen. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, what can we learn from Survivor and apply it to the gospel? And there's some cool things I believe that God wants to say. But it's interesting, in Survivor, I played against PK, and one of the reasons was he's really a kind guy, really genuine, even with people he would play against, even if something would happen at tribal council, he'd go back and be generous and kind. And I just want to honor you for that, PK. Yeah. Last photo up there is just a photo of a challenge we did. PK carried the blocks on his head. I don't know who remembered that. So some people want to hear a few things from the island that I'm going to be going to and through. I'm going to be reading a scripture, maybe landing a concept, a principle, and then just go to the island and explain that type of principle in action and what it means for us. But just one or two more things. We really, did not receive extra food. I actually still remember the first tribal council. I don't know how much Survivor PK watched before we played, but I remember you asking, do you think there's food at tribal council? Do you remember that? And I'm like, you wish. There's not going to be nothing. So we really starved. And it's up to a place where a handful of rice, you be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. And be grateful for who you have in your life. Because when those things are stripped away, you know how valuable those things are that we take for granted every day. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. On the island, we also had our own language. When you live together and you don't even go to the store away from the people, you're just there, you start to talk, like we would say, when there's food and you're hungry, someone would say, in my kop in. Okay, like in my head, literally. I'm just going to smash it. Jean would say, when the food came, she would say, in my kop kwa. Okay, which means I'm going to eat it, as simple as that. If someone wanted to get undressed, they would go behind the shelter and they would say, bad moon rising, and they would go to the back. And we just laugh. And as, we got more dirty and stuff, the one person went behind the shelter the one day and they said, you guys are too young to know that movie, but she said, Nightmare on Elm Street, and she went to the back. Which is a horror film. So you develop this society, you build it with a lot of trust and stuff, and then the trust comes tumbling down, and it really hurts a lot. And I'll be touching on one or two. I just want to say also, the heartbreak is real in Survivor. It's real. I remember the next day when I got off. I remember not being able to sleep that night, and I went on the jetty. I'm on the ocean, and I saw the boats cruising in front of me, probably taking the camera crew to the island. And my heart just broke, and I was crying. And I said, God, this is so painful. And as I was voting other people off, I said, it's only a game. But when it got handed to me, it really hurt. And I realized, it's hard for us to know what other people go through until we stand in their shoes. But as believers, we will not have the experience to be able to walk in every shoe, every circumstance that other people walk in. And so we need the Spirit to teach us and give us love and compassion for those going through stuff. Isn't that true? Well, tonight I'm going to give you 3 points. If you've got your notebook here, you can say drie goed. Reflections from the island. I'm going to move between scripture and some stories. And let me just pray before I head into this. Father, I want to thank you for these wonderful people here tonight. Oh, the roads that we walk in life, we don't even have control over them. But tonight we are here. And your hand guided each and every one here. And I just want to thank you for that. And for those people, Philip prayed for, if there's people here tonight that maybe have lost hope, Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. Thank you that you are someone to hold on to. Thank you that you are here to break open the word. Holy Spirit, we just invite you, come and do an amazing work here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right, let's get into the word. Colossians 4, verse 3 to 6. It'll be on the screen. Awesome. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Who's the outsiders? Those who don't know Jesus. Those who you may be praying for. Family members, work colleagues. And Paul says, walk in wisdom when it comes to the outsiders, making the best use of a time. Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Where's Paul at that moment when he's writing? He's in prison. Okay, he's sitting in prison, and he's asking for an open door. Interesting. He's not asking, pray for me that the prison door might open, which is what my prayer request would be. He's saying, I'm praying for an open door for the word. Now that's a kingdom focus right there. And then he says, pray for me that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Not what I ought to say. This man wrote Romans, the greatest exposition of gospel theology, masterpiece. He does not say, pray for me that I might know what to say. He says, pray for me that I might know how I ought to speak, that I might know how to answer people. Question: is it possible for you to give the right answer in a way that people will not listen? Is it possible for you to give the perfect information, quote the scripture, yet the hearts of those on the other side closes down? It is. And Paul knows this, so he says, pray for me that when I speak, I know how I ought to speak. So we're on the island. First night already, the religious conversation start. Always. Hot topics, the same two. Always. Creation, evolution, marriage, remarriage, and homosexuality. Always. You can count on those to surface everywhere. And I did not tell these people I'm a pastor. I don't know if PK was offended at me when he heard it afterwards. I haven't asked him. I didn't want them to label me, and I'll explain to you why in this example. So the one night we're talking, and the conversation is going, a religious conversation, it's happening. And at one stage, there's a person standing at the fire. It's a female. And she partakes in the conversation, and she says something that's not biblical, okay? So it's just a conversation. And another person who claims to be a believer, and I believe is one, says to the person, but you will not understand because you are not saved. And I look over, because I'm always hiding in the bushes. I'm not getting in this religious conversation because I don't want to reveal I'm a pastor. It's night, day one, okay? And I see a heartbreak. And I intercepted the person a bit later. I said, listen, I heard that conversation that happened, and I heard what was said. How do you feel? Tears. On the island, always. Generous question, Teal. You know when you had a bad day and you run into someone, it can be like even the pharmacist, and they're like, are you okay? And it's like, you know, who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay, that's exactly the moment. I'm like, listen, before you say how bad all Christians are, I am one. I just want to say that. But I don't believe that was the heart of Jesus in that moment. And I want you to know that what was said to you is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that. I used words that she could understand. And what she said broke my heart. She said, Werner, I don't have a problem with Christians. I don't have a problem with Jesus. But I hate the church. I don't have a problem with Christians or Jesus, but I hate the church. Why? In her mind and in her memory, that's how the church speaks to her. You're not saved. You're not born again. You don't know what's going on here. And it broke my heart. And so Paul writes, pray for me that I know how I ought to speak. And when I speak to outsiders, how I ought to answer with grace and salt. A platter of grace and love with truth on top. How do we speak to the world out there? Do we speak judgment first? Do we extend grace? It's very important. You understand why I don't reveal I'm a pastor on day one? Because of the labels of what other people has done to their families will be imputed onto me. So I said, I'm a believer. I'm someone who loves Jesus. I have a small group, but I wanted them to know Varis. Okay? Before you speak to the person that sits in the office, for a moment, think who you are speaking to. They don't know the word justification, okay? They don't understand the word sanctification. Be gracious with your speech that they can understand. Point number one. What a contradiction. My lessons from the island I'm sharing with you. What a contradiction if I speak the words of a gospel without the heart of Jesus. You're not saved. That's not helpful. Let us search our heart. We can fake a speech, but we cannot fake closeness with Jesus. It's built on the knees and in the word. That's how I got into Shofar Christian Church. Every morning I would read my Bible because that's what everyone did. And he shaped my heart. And then out of the heart flows, out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. Amen? Does that make sense? Everyone, vine it for me and say, yes, Aguario. Okay, cool. Let's go on. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. What Jesus is trying to say in a simple form is when a person has got a lot of means, like all of us, head over your roof over your head, not a head over the roof, unless you sleep on the house. But that's, yeah, you can do it if you want to. I mean, it's just make sure it's a flat roof. If you've got a place to stay, you've got money to buy food, you've got a cell phone, you're doing well. Amen. Let's be grateful. It is so easy for us, and I think Jesus is trying to communicate, it's so easy for us when we are so busy with our means to make so many sounds and noises in our lives that we can no longer hear the voice of the Spirit. I'm feeling down today. Let me call a friend and go and have pizza. Boom, make sure that noise I'm hearing must just not speak loud enough so that I hear I have a problem. man, there's something in my heart. Let me take out Facebook. Let me chat with 10 people at the same time. Anything, as long as not hearing what my heart is saying to me right now. There's a situation at work. You've got some friction with a colleague. How am I going to deal with that? Let me go and buy some shoes. Okay? We laugh, but it's a nervous laugh because it's true. Amen? It just gets different. A new car, a new house, then we start renovations, then we renovate the renovations. It never stops. And what Jesus is saying is, watch out if the sounds in your life, there's so much that you lose the ability to hear what's inside. Are you with me? I'm going somewhere with this. What actually happens here is that we mask the issues of our hearts with stuff. Some people, you're all made in the image of God. Just hear what I'm saying? Some people wake up prettier than what they are after the makeup. Trying to mask who they are. Can you hear my heart? Let's go on. I'm going to land this in a moment. Don't leave me there. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we know Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have community. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who makes the darkness tremble? Jesus, right? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Listen up. If you feel in your heart at times there's something wrong, that's about right. Okay? If at times you feel there's something wrong with you, you're right. Don't put on a mask. Just say, there's something wrong with me. Can we pray? Invite them in. Because sin is in each and every one of us, whether you are saved or unsaved, to use those words. Are you with me? Okay? But it's so much easier to mask. If we confess our sins, hey, I've got a problem. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen up. Whenever your spirit speaks to you and you hear it, you can do one of two things. The one is cover it up, make sounds louder than what you hear, put on a mask, and another one, and another one. On the other side, you can say, God, I hear my spirit is speaking to me about this or that area of my life. And if I have to be honest, I need to grow. You get a friend, you pray. It's the two options. Are you with me? The one that gives you a quick solution is to put up a mask. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with my budget. I don't have these problems. Stop saying, and we run away and we put up these masks. You see, we are masters at self-deception. We deceive ourselves. And I'm hammering this point, but don't leave me here. On the island, when we had Survivor, you have nothing. You literally don't have makeup. No razor. All right? True story. You cannot quickly go and buy KFC or Steers. You don't have that card that bails you out. You don't have a car to drive in. You don't have a friend to phone. You don't even have a phone. Okay? You have nothing. All that's left. It's you. And it's amazing how real the relationship can get between people as soon as we drop our masks. And here's the funny thing. We believe if we constantly show people our best side, they're going to love us more, and it's the opposite. You all agree with me, but we all do the same. We think if we show these people we don't have mistakes, if we show them we always look pretty, even if we wake up, quickly make up, do the hair, perfect clothing, we think people will love us more, but the opposite is true. People are more interested in realness. People with mistakes. Take it into this community, I promise you. Go test it. Go tell your friend if you messed up and see what happens to that friendship. But the enemy deceives us. And he wants us to hide our hurts and our sins. The music channel on DSTV, VH1, okay. They had a thing where they took the life of a rock star, one per evening, and they showed, oh, here's little Michael growing up, and then he's got the band, and they're struggling, and then the money comes, and they had a little biography for rock stars, one evening. A fascinating week, because every night, the life of the most successful rock star, all the money, all the women, all the men, and all the power, whatever, all the cars, houses, planes, the story would almost end the same every evening. Take a guess. It was in there. Drugs. At the end, they would take their own life. Why? If you walk where you can see, you know where you are going. If you walk in the light. If you walk in darkness, you think you have a mask on. But the problem is you cannot see through the mask. And so it ends the same. I did not know it would end here. After all these years. The enemy wants us to deceive ourselves. When you are deceived, you don't know it. Otherwise, it would not be deception, right? Now, on the island, let's go back there. Two people come to me and say, I've got such anxiety, I don't know what to do with myself. I've never told someone. Will you pray with me? I didn't even say I was a pastor. The mask comes off. Real relationship starts. How are you doing today? Tears on the island. You can ask Pika, it's the whole time. Why do we connect so purely? Because the mask comes off. When we strip, listen up. When we stripped of the things that can be taken away, we tend to yearn for something that cannot be taken away. For some people, they have to lose everything before they grasp God. Don't be like that. You don't have to go through that pain. Rather, lay it down and hold on to God. Number two. I have a few things to say about this. When sharing your faith, what I learned, I'm bringing back what I've learned out there. When sharing your faith, unmasking often starts with the one sharing. What are we if we expect of people to open their hearts, to take off their mask, but we keep ours on? What are we? Say it. Hypocrites. I'm going to keep my mask on, but you must drop. Oh, come to the front, bow before Christ, give over your life. We need those moments. That is serious unmasking. Let us who love God model it. Whether you've been here 10 years, if Philip, Susanda, or someone invites and says, guys, if you want prayer for this area, come, take your mask off. We have to learn to take it off. Remember, when we are vulnerable, we build community. When we're not, we compete. There's only one champion, Jesus. Okay? And I want to say this. If you are here and in the past you've received serious blows or pain because of this in church, where church people spoke to you in a way that broke your heart or demanded of you to be vulnerable, but it was not modeled, I want to say sorry. We get this wrong. I get this wrong. It's not right to have grace with us. Amen. But let's grow. On the other side of our masks, there are wonderful people. Real people. Voete van klei, né? Broken people. Even that brokenness, it's a lot prettier than masks. And I was waiting for the live reunion, and I remember worrying. I was anxious. I said, Lord, I don't want everyone to come with all their masks. The perfect clothes, the perfect makeup. Because the vulnerability on the island is a lot more beautiful to me. Make sense? The one, it's ministry is so close because of this vulnerability. The one girl made a mention. She said, "My mom doesn't have a job," and she carried on. But I picked up that when she said that it hurts for her, and she feels for mom. And so later in the day we had our hand of rice, and someone said, "You know, who will pray for us, Vanna? It's your turn." I said, "Yes, it's my turn." And I prayed. I said, Lord, I want to pray. I want to thank you for the food. And hear this prayer. My son can pray this prayer. I want to ask that you will give this person's mom a job, that they can look after themselves. Eyes open, tears. It is the simplest of prayers. But here's the thing. When we unpack our masks, healing and the Spirit of God is so close. It's so close. And you know that question we ask one another in the school halls? How are you? And we walk past. When the masks are off and you ask, how are you? Tears. Let's pray that God will help us be a community that are willing to show, I've got a problem here, I've got a problem here, I've got sin in this area, help me. It's beautiful and it's sweet. It's one thing I learned. One more point. Don't tap out. There's two big words on the screen, and now you guys think I'm very smart and that makes me feel good about myself. Identificationalism versus extractionism. Now, this is mission language. Missiology is a study of missions, God's mission to mankind, and man's response to God over the past 500 years. Missiology has these two terms. Fascinating, okay? Hear me out. In the about 300 years ago, Roman Catholic-funded missions went out over the world to evangelize the world and to make the world Roman Catholic, all right? And they would go into Asia and Africa and they would say, the places where we come from is more advanced than where these people live. Let's teach them how to be more advanced. And so the missionary would come build a Western house and go to the village and tell the people, hey, come out of your home into my house and I will teach you English. And they would teach the Bible and many people would meet God. The only problem is if the missionary dies, and they often did because they were not ready for all the environment and everything that goes along with it. When the missionary dies, the mission collapses because it was built on the missionary and his Western home. I'm going to extract you out of your life into mine, and then I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lift you up. Can you sense the pride in that? Okay. Identificationalism happened afterwards. They said, no, let's get into the homes of these people, eat their food, learn to talk their language, learn to love them, and use this, the things in their homes as analogies for the gospel. And they started to do that. It was slower, but the mission never ended, even if a missionary went back home or died. Because they went to identify with the people. Now, in a time where people say, I don't mind Jesus, but I hate the church. Listen up. You can no longer only walk past someone and say, come to church. That's extracting them. That is asking them to do a very dangerous thing in their mind. You can no longer just walk past someone and say, hey, come to small group. That's just extracting them. We will learn, we will have to learn to go and be with people, like on the island. Sit. Until you sit and talk and bri, whatever it is you do, long enough until people start to trust you and see, but your heart is pure towards them. In a sense, we must watch out that we are not doing extractionalism all over again. But here's a problem. We can't sit with people. Why? Too busy. We can't sit with someone on a Saturday and just be with them, trusting God to work in them, because we're not even here or away or something. And so the best we can do is come to church. We have to grow. It's amazing how people that I would never meet in my life would sit next to me on a beach for 3 hours straight. And the masks will come down and the heart will open. And then I can ask, how have you experienced church? No, those people, they... And I'm like, I'm sorry for that experience, but it's not how it should be. And I trust you find a place where you can be loved. And at the end, they would say, but to what church do you go? Because we're there, we have time. So for you, as a missionary in the world, if you know Jesus and you're not in heaven, you're here for a reason. You need to understand that connecting with people is about the most important thing you have to do. Let's not rush it. Amen. And the Word, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Who's the Word? It's Jesus, okay? The Word became flesh and He dwelled among us. We have seen His glory. He had His dwelling with the angels. And He came and stayed. Walked with them, talked with them, ate with them. Showed them how to pray. He was with them days upon days and years at the end. And then when He left, He still left the Spirit to remain with us. Our God is a God that dwells with His people. He doesn't do quick fix. He loves and stays. Number 3. May we learn to identify and dwell with those who are hurting and not only extract them. They're not our project. They're God's people. And He loves them dearly. Let's think about our lives, how we are living. Last story. Can I tell you guys one more story? Is that okay? This is the face of a woman. And I want to illustrate the heart of Jesus here before we pray. And I'll ask Philip to pray for you guys. Who knows this woman? Readers. Who's the readers or the historians out here? If I say the Kew Gardens incident, rings a bell? Someone? You know? Do you know her name?
Kitty something with a G.
Very good. Kitty Genovese. Let's do the next slide. This woman comes home after working hard days of work. Comes to apartments, a dark alley, one of those typical American apartments where you open the door, you've got stairs in each one. It's a res setup, okay? That man Winston Mosley waits for her. He's been stalking her. Knows the patterns. He knows that she comes late in the evening. He finds her in the alley and he stabs her with a knife. True story. I'm sorry if it's graphic, guys. She screams, "He's stabbing me, help." And what happens is the lights of the flats above goes on, and people, they're opening the windows, they're looking out, and as the lights go on, the attacker runs away. He retreats into the dark. She's wounded, she's bleeding. But here's the thing. Many lights went on, but no one came down into the alley. True story. And the man came back and murdered her. Still today called the Genovese syndrome, the bystander effect. What am I trying to illustrate here? We are in the alley. That's the thing. You are in the alley, and I am in the dark alley. But Jesus did not stay. He came down and connected with us, spoke in ways that's loving, that we could understand and relate to. When we are in sin, he says, "My child." He comes, he does not only take off his mask, he dies naked. Intestines can be seen, totally unmasked. He gets baptized with the sinners. It's a sign that you have sin. He takes it off. He does not stay, he comes down. And then he doesn't send an angel to do the work, or he doesn't shout from heaven. He comes himself and he dwells with us. Now, let me just say this. If you feel tonight, if you feel convicted, if you feel you're failing, you start by accepting Christ, because his righteousness, his works becomes yours when you believe in him. Every beautiful thing he said, every wonderful work he did that pleased the Father, the moment you accept him, you are one with him, and the Father, he's pleased with you because he's pleased with the Son. It's called the sacrificial lamb. And from that place of acceptance, you start to live for him. Make sense? That's the gospel. You cannot do these 3 points to attain to love, to hope that then he will love you. No, that's not the gospel. That's something else. We have to start with just saying, "Lord, you came for me in my place. I'm taking off my mask, and I want you to forgive me my sins and show me now how do I live from here." You live from a place of relationship. You work for God from relationship. You don't work unto a relationship. Are you with me? That's heresy. That's a gospel of works, which is not the gospel we have. And so this is what I've learned, is that people out there are a lot closer to salvation than what you think. But sometimes they need kind words first. They need to see your sin. Because people on the outside look at church and they think we are perfect. They know their sin, they don't know ours, and they believe they should stay outside. So what do? We unmask. And then we are willing to spend time with him. As a pastor, I've learned it's more helpful for my church if I tell them when my wife and I had a fight and how we dealt with it, then masking it. Because the moment I share with them, they share what's happening in their homes. Now we have community. Everyone thinks the pastor is perfect. Well, at least no one knows. Everyone knows I'm not, so that helps. Now the country knows, so. Oh, he's good. He loves you so much. Let's pray. Let's pray. Can we stand up tonight and just respond to this? I just want to pray a prayer over you guys out of my heart, and then ask Philip to minister as the Spirit leads. But if you can have your hands like this, just as a posture to receive. Father, as hands are open in this place, it shows that you can come and take what we have and give us what you have. We let go of things that we will lose in any case to hold on to that which lasts forever, eternity with you. Lord, this community will change this city. This unmasked, humble, and powerful group of people will change the city and this university. They can take their masks off before people, because when they took it off before God, He accepted them. Do an incredible work in this congregation, in every individual's life. We pray for a mighty wind of the Spirit to blow over them. A community that will evangelize and share, not only in words, but in heart. Because they have compassion for the lost like Jesus. I thank you for these people.
While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, tonight is a really precious evening for many of us here tonight. And perhaps you're here tonight and you're saying, Werner, Philip, it's great talking about taking these masks off, but I don't know if I've ever come to the place where I've just allowed Jesus to take my mask off. That moment where I've looked at my own life and realized that I'm not okay. To send someone here, you've been running and so trying to hide and put all of these masks on to look okay to a broken world. And right now, I just sense Jesus wanting to say to you that He knows you're not okay. And that's okay. Tonight, if you want to come before Jesus, perhaps for the first time, maybe you've done it in the past, but you've drifted away from Him. And tonight, you just want to recommit, just a life of following Jesus, of allowing Him to come and bring healing and restoration, to take off the masks, to be honest about who you really are. Tonight, if that's you, if you want to make right in your relationship with Jesus, I would so love to pray with you. Werner would love to pray with you as well. I'm going to ask if that is you. Just there where you're standing, can you just quickly slip up your hand and say, that's me, Philip. I need to make right with Jesus. I need Him to take off my masks. I need Him to make whole what I've been trying to hide. I need Him to wash away the sinfulness and the brokenness. We would so love to pray with you. Just put your hand up really high if that's you, so we can know who we're praying for this evening. Some hands going up all over. Maybe you're here and it's like this little wrestling match going on in the inside of your heart right now, and it's exactly what it is. It's the enemy of your soul who wants to keep you right there where you are, trapped in bondage and slavery to the lies and the brokenness that has been holding on to you. And Jesus, the one who died to save you from your sin, who wants to set you free. So some of you have already raised up your hands. I'm going to ask you to do it again. And maybe someone else, you're saying, Philip, I want to make that decision, because that wrestling match that's going on in your heart, the decision is in your hands. You get to make that decision around your destiny, around your future, to keep the mask or to allow Jesus to take the mask off. I'm going to count to three. And as I get to three, tonight, if that's you and you want us to pray with you around that, I just want you to lift up your hand really high. One. There's nothing to be afraid of. His plans and His hope for you is so much greater than you can ever imagine. to, there is no sin. There's nothing that you have done or can ever do that's going to make chase him away and intimidate him. His hand is not too short and his heart is not too far from you. He wants to draw near to you. Three, just slip up your hand if that's you tonight. There are hands that have gone up all over this place, and tonight we want to pray with you. We would so love to pray with you. I'm going to ask all of you to raise your hands to do something really, really bold, but it's going to mean so much to you in your life going forward. I'm going to ask you, if you've put up your hand, can you step out from wherever you were? Just come right to the front here. And we'd love to pray with you. Just step out right away. We're making space for you right here in the front. Just come forward. Amen. So amazing having you guys at the front. Anyone else who maybe you were a little bit afraid to put up your hand, or you put up your hand and you thought there's no ways, I'm the only one going to the front. We want to pray with you. We'd give you one more chance. If you still wanted to come forward, we'd hate to miss anyone out who wants to respond in this moment. Anyone at all. We're going to pray a really simple but an incredibly powerful prayer together, all of us in the front. We're going to pray just an acknowledgement that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. An acknowledgement that we need Him to heal our hearts, and an invitation for Him to do that. Is that okay? Can we pray that? I'm going to ask the rest of you to pray with me just out loud as we just again just commit our lives to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are so incredibly awesome. Thank You for tonight. That tonight, You've remembered me. Jesus, Son of the living God, here I am, just a sinner, messed up so many times, and yet Your love never fails. Thank You, Jesus, that when You died on the cross, You died for me to have life and to have it in abundance. And so, Jesus, tonight, I bring my masks before You, my life, my brokenness, my confusion, and I know that, Jesus, You are the answer. I choose to follow You. I pray that You take my hand and that You would lead me in the way You have prepared. I want to be a Jesus follower all the days of my life. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Can we give them just another hand? Just hang on a second before you guys go. The reason we're all applauding is not because you're on show or anything like that. We remember the day, the moment in our life when we made this decision. It changed us for eternity, and it's going to change you for eternity. So, just a few moments, we're going to continue with song and worship and just having some fun in here. But we want to take a moment and just celebrate each and every one of you, because Christ loves each and every one of you. So I'm going to ask you, can you remember three really important things for me? You look like intelligent individuals, all of you. Three things. Varun also had three things tonight. Okay, three things that Varun has shared, and three quick things for me. The first one is we have small groups. And they meet all across the city, wherever you are. There is one close to you. Small group is a group of believers, people in church, 5, 6, 7 or so people. And we come together, we pray for each other, we support one another, we build into one another's lives, we carry one another, we cry together, we laugh together. This week, already commit to going to a small group. If you're serious about following Jesus, you need to have people around you to help you to follow Jesus. So this week already, if you can go, we're going to help you in just a moment to find one really close to you. This week already, go to a small group. And then on the 15th of September, that's a Saturday morning, we've got a seminar. It's called Life Encounter. We do a whole series of spiritual growth courses, and the first one is called Life Encounter. And that will happen on the 15th of September. It's a Saturday morning here in this hall at 8:30 in the morning. If there is any way possible on this earth for you to be here, be here. it's so important that those good foundations, the important foundations, are laid right for the life ahead. So the first one, small group, life encounter on the 15th of September. And then the exciting, but perhaps the hardest one of the lot. You guys ready for number three? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, doesn't matter who it is, the first three people you see, tell them about the decision you've made tonight. Can you do that? Life encounter, small groups, three people. Awesome. You're going to turn around quickly if you want to, and you're going to see there's a really good looking person standing right behind you. This one, turn around and meet them quickly. Introduce yourself to them. You can chat to them. You can trust them. And the reason they're here is maybe you've got something specific that you need to share, that you need an answer about, that you need someone to pray with you about. You can talk to them. If it's 3 seconds and you're out of here, that's fine. If you need a bit more time and you want someone just to pray with you about some stuff going on in your life, you're welcome to pray with them. You guys can follow Susanda. Just Susanda, wave there quickly. You guys, just out this door. We've got a room prepared specifically for you guys. Let's give God a hand as they just walk out there. Awesome. And then just before I hand back to Adin and the team to continue to lead us, if you're here this evening and you were challenged by what Werner shared, you were challenged about getting involved in people's lives, challenged around how you communicate to people who are far from Christ. Do we push them away? Are we drawing them closer? Are we extracting, or are we allowing ourselves to experience the hurt and brokenness and to live into the lives of where people are? If you were challenged around any of those things and the 3 points Werner mentioned, maybe something totally different, but you were challenged, I want to encourage you tonight, don't go home without responding to what God's doing in your heart. And the easiest way to respond, we always, sometimes people ask why we do it this way. You know why we do it this way? Why we have you step out and come to the front? It's because tonight you're going to get in the car and you're going to drive home and you're going to lie in your bed and the question is going to come, has anything really changed? And the fact that you were willing to walk out and come to the front and have someone pray with you, that's just a little line that you draw in the sand. Yes, it did, because I remember that moment. I made a commitment in my heart and I responded. I know I heard the voice of God and I responded. So tonight, if you're wanting to respond, I want to invite you as we start this next song, you can just step forward and we're going to take as long as it needs to pray for as many as you wish to be prayed for this evening. This evening, as you come forward, it's less about our prayer, as important as it is. We believe in the power of all of our prayer, as much as it's about a commitment that you're making in your heart. Say, Jesus, I want to represent you to a broken world. I want to represent you faithfully. God, I want the words in my mouth. I want to speak them well. I want to know how I ought to speak in every situation. We want to pray with you around that. Eventually, when you do go, and if you need to go, you're more than welcome to go. There is coffee and tea outside. Hang around if you can. We'd love to get to know you a little bit, especially those who are visiting. Please hang around for a few moments. We really would love to chat and meet you a little bit. I think there's some slash puppy still as well. You can have some slash puppy and just enjoy some good time chatting and sharing and getting to know each other. But most important, if you need someone to pray with you, then you're welcome to step forward. So God bless you. Have an incredible week. Join a small group this week. If you're not in a small group yet, outside there's a table. We'll help you get in a small group. And then also, we're going to have that awesome album launch next week. It's going to be a great time. You're welcome to bring along some friends. Let's pack out this hall and we're going to have a massive praise party next week. God bless you all. May He shine His light upon you more and more every day. Thanks, Adin.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.